Well, welcome back to the LifePoint DriveCast. My name is Cale Boer. I'm the teaching pastor at our Delaware campus. And this past Sunday, we continued on in the series we've been calling Beyond the Shallows. We've been looking at the gospel through the life of Simon Peter, really the leader of the 12 apostles. And this Sunday at the Delaware campus, we finished up Acts chapter 2. Last week, we talked about the coming of the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit empowered the early believers to proclaim the wonders of God in various languages. There were a ton of people in Jerusalem at that time for Pentecost, and so they heard the gospel in their own languages, and Peter preaches a sermon filled with the Holy Spirit, points people to Jesus, calls people to repentance, and 3,000 people get saved. And so at the end of Acts chapter 2, it talks about how the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, which is God's word. They devote themselves to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, meals together, to prayer. And so we talked through those various elements, and then we saw the results of their devotion as they devoted themselves to the word, to prayer, to being with one another, to evangelism and sharing the gospel. They see, it tells us that awe came upon every soul. They see God move in miraculous ways. They see people getting saved. They see all of these things happening in the life of the early church. There's this sense of community and relationship. People are giving of their means to help other believers. It's just a phenomenal time in the life of the early church. And one of the things that we talked about was that there was this sense of joy that just pervades the church. You see it in the text. They keep saying with glad and sincere hearts, with generous hearts, they have all things in common and they're sharing meals together. There's a gladness and a deep sense of joy really throughout the text and in the life of the early church. And I ask this question, you know, what is it that brings that sense of joy? Why are these people so joyful? And I said, man, it's at the end of the day, it is because of Jesus. It's because they understand, they have embraced the gospel. They've understood, maybe not fully yet. I mean, your whole life is diving deeper into the gospel, but they've understood what it is that Jesus did for them. They realize their sins have been forgiven. And so I read from Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. Paul describes really the gospel this way. He says, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. Jesus, you see, describes salvation in the New Testament in a number of ways. He talks about being born again, being in the kingdom. But one of the ways that he talks about being saved is also this idea of having a debt canceled, as Paul talks about it here, like a legal debt canceled. Jesus tells a story about a financial debt, right, of someone who had this insurmountable debt and their master just forgave them their debt. And the point of the story is understanding how we've been forgiven by God and how we should forgive then others. I talked to a guy in our church this week as I thought about the way Jesus describes it, the way Paul describes it here with this legal debt being canceled. I talked to a guy in our church this week who shared his story with me, and I asked him, man, can I share that with others? He said, of course. When he was a younger man, he stole from his own father. He took stuff from his own father it was a large amount, and he got in legal trouble for this. And later on, years later, right, they reconciled, and his father, when he went back to court to have his record expunged, right, this young man goes to court to get his record expunged, to have the debt canceled. His father was there in the booth with him on his side of the bench in the court saying, look, you know, judge, I no longer hold this against my son, and neither should you, neither should the court. And his record was expunged, the debt canceled. And as we were talking about this, just the profundity of it, the profoundness of it hit me as far as, and both of us, we were talking about how wonderful of an illustration of the gospel that is, right? You got his father there advocating for him, the way that Jesus advocates for us, Jesus looking at the father saying, Their debt has been paid. Your debt, my debt has been paid. It's been canceled because Jesus paid it. Jesus took it on himself at the cross. We have been forgiven. He forgave us all our sin. He canceled our debt. We are free. And I wonder, and I ask this of our people on Sunday, do you understand that? One of the things that Paul prays is that we would understand, the Apostle Paul prays, we would understand the depth and the height and the length and the breadth of the love of Jesus Christ, the love of God for us in and through Christ. Do you understand that? When you think about your relationship with Jesus, when you think about your faith, do you think about just attending church or going to your life group or, yeah, I got to serve or I'm supposed to share the gospel, I'm supposed to read the Bible, I'm supposed to pray? Or do you think about what it is that Jesus has done for you? That the debt of your sin, every thought, every wayward, wrong action, attitude, thought, word, every time that you didn't love your spouse the way you're called to, every time you unloaded on your kids when you got angry, every time that you didn't treat a coworker the way that you know you really should, or didn't treat your neighbor the way that you know that you're called to, like your lifetime of rebellion against God, my lifetime of rebellion against God, all of my sin, all of your sin, it's been wiped away, canceled. We are free. We are forgiven. God no longer sees it anymore because it's been paid for in and through what Jesus did at the cross. It's been expunged, if I can say it that way. We really and truly are forgiven if we've trusted Jesus Christ with our lives, if we've turned from our sin and trusted Him. Do you know that? Do you understand that? Have you embraced that? Because if you have, it results in what these early believers had, that pervasive, life-changing sense of joy. Joy even in the midst of suffering, joy even in the midst of hardship, joy because we know my eternity has been changed. I'm reconciled with my Heavenly Father who loves me and showed me that He loves me by sending Jesus to the cross in my place and then raised Him from the grave that I might have new life in Him. I want to take a moment. I want to pray for you, and then I want to encourage you just to pray this morning, to thank your Heavenly Father. And if you need to, ask Him, Lord, will you restore that joy, the joy of my salvation, into my heart this morning? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you have saved us, that you've loved us and shown us that love in and through Jesus. Thank you for your Spirit living in us. And Jesus, thank you that because of what you did at the cross, our debt is paid. It's canceled. Our sin forgiven. And we are free and we are yours and we are loved and we are known. God, we thank you for that. Don't ever let us lose sight of that. Father, let us walk in the joy of knowing you. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Take some time now just to pray for yourself.